Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, Angela Alberti.
Hello, Ivy Podcast listeners. Welcome to another episode of the Ivy Podcast. Like always, we thank you guys for tuning in and spending some time with us. I am your host, Angela Alberti. And if you have a chance to listen to any of the podcasts that I've done before, then you know we are all about the workforce ecosystem, the human capital space, all the intricacies that are involved with putting the people to work around the globe. And that's certainly the case in today's episode. I'm joined by Daniel Callahan. Daniel, give us a quick intro on yourself and let the listeners know a little bit more about who you are.
Hi, Angela, and welcome to all the listeners. Lovely to be here. As just mentioned, obviously, my name's Daniel. I am CEO and one of three founders of a business called Verimark. Verimark is a global pre-employment and background screening company. Ultimately, it's our mission to help the world trust faster, and we've done that through building a better verification engine for global employment checks, and then secondly, by ultimately turning those verified data points into digital credentials that the candidates can then own and reuse. Personally, I've been in the world of HR tech for about a dozen years, or maybe a little bit longer, having built a global high-end freelance marketplace as my first venture. That's still running and was a sort of pioneer in the early high-end white-collar gig worker space. And then had a brief stint in corporate life before building Verimark, running the corporate ventures and digital innovation arm across APAC for the world's largest recruitment company, the Adecco Group.
Nice. Wow. Really cool background that you have. And certainly, I'd love to hear that moment in your career timeline where you said, you know what? Or perhaps one of many different co-founders that you were with, what was that inception point where you guys decided to take the leap and start Verimark? How did that really find itself into your career path?
So Verimark is really an interesting one. As I mentioned earlier, so my first business, I set up straight out of business school. It was for high-end, white-collar, independent consultants, akin to businesses in the US like Catalan or Business Talent Group, if your listeners are familiar with those. We were placing freelancers into management consultancies and private equity funds all over the world. They needed to do lots of background checks. And that process was really already back then and still in many cases for other suppliers, really painful, slow and analog in how those checks were being done. And obviously as the growing world of gig economy and independent workers and portfolios, the frequency with which those checks needed to be done, you know, was ever increasing. And then when I moved to Adecco, you know, we saw that pain point actually, you know, was very true at high volume recruitment companies. And again, you still had these big delays, really poor candidate experience coming through for both blue collars and white collar workers. And we knew therefore very quickly that there was this real sense of dissatisfaction in the current service or status quo of how people were getting these checks done. And you know, after 2 years in corporate life, I got, you know, had the entrepreneurial bug again, so I decided to leave that and go and join the team, two great co-founders of Verimark, to see, you know, if we could ultimately save that problem of how do we help people get a greater level of confidence and security around who they're bringing onto their team. And and that was really the view there. I mean, we were all founders. We were all, well, the three of us had all been founders before. We'd all hired people. We all knew it was a real, you know, pain point that we'd experienced, not only just in the process, but also the, you know, the aftermath. If you don't get it wrong or you haven't done the references correctly and you end up hiring someone who's not quite where they or who they said they were. And you know, that was a pain point we thought was worth solving.
And you are so right about the pain point. I mean, my gosh, whether you are the intermediary or the buyer or the person in HR or a corporate TA department with a high influx of requisitions out there to fill, there is such a critical element to the pre-screening process. I mean, I can't tell you how many times you've got the perfect candidate. they're actively interviewing at other places. And then you go through this cycle of, okay, time to do your background checks now. And there's just this delay of information to get back. And it really can make or break the successful placement process for many folks out there. And I know that if you are in the workforce ecosystem yourself and you're listening into this, you've carried that sentiment, you've been part of that process, and you know how critical it really is through the overall life cycle of talent and talent deployment. So it's super effective strategy needs to be done in place to make sure that all is executed well. And you know, for the intermediary, even more so, the staffing agency that really is depending on this result to be driven in the nick of time is super important to what they do every single day. So tell me a little bit about, you know, this conceptualization that you guys had with Verimark. And I thought it was fascinating when you were walking through some of the blockchain technology elements that you have looked to leverage. Now, knowing that maybe people that are listening into this call aren't blockchain experts, can you break it down for us and how you've applied some of those fundamentals into your overall model?
Sure. I mean, I'll give it my best go of
there you go.
And then explain blockchain simply. But the blockchain is ultimately what they call a distributed ledger or a series of distributed databases where the records are not held in any single location, and therefore because they are stored concurrently on different servers means that you can't just change data in one place. But what that ultimately brings with it is a greater level of trust and security in the initial data that has been stored in said database or collections of database, such as, you know, a financial record, or in the case of Verimark, someone's digital verified employment history or academic history that no longer, therefore, you know, people have an incentive to tamper with or improve or change. But actually now, because it's already been checked and checked once by a very valid third party, you know, it can be stored securely there. And whoever then is the recipient of that credential or you know, access to that data point can know that it hasn't again been tampered with. Right? And that's sort of the underlying advantage of blockchain across all use cases, whether it's financial services or employment or such, is that there is this strong element of trust and tamper-proof or immutability or uneditableness to the records, right? And that's the key element that Verimark is harnessing in how we are then able to, you know, to store the data. And then because the data, is tamper-proof, you know, it means, and also it is not owned just in Verimark's own you know, AWS server. It means that we can then give access to that, I should say ownership of that data back to the candidate themselves, mm-hmm. right? So all of those points that you were talking about, the speed and efficiency of trying to get people placed. So it's inefficient for the client who's waiting for the candidate to start or contract to start their role, right? It's inefficient and inconvenient for the recruiter who wants to get this place that person started and is losing billable days every time they're waiting. And it's inconvenient for the candidate as well, who is having to repeat proving that they went to college in 1994 for the 18th time in their career, right? And they've got to wait 12 days for that. And, you know, it costs everyone money. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, the reality that Verimark is building is that now actually the candidate will own and does own their own digital credential that they did graduate in 1994. As long as well with any other data points that Verimark has checked, they can share those with, you know, either the recruiter or the end hiring manager, and ultimately eliminate all those repetitive checks that would have otherwise slowed down the process. And again, because of the way the information is stored, as I say, the end recipient being the end employer or the recruitment agency can again be, you know, trust that those data points remain valid and haven't been tampered with by the candidate for their own benefit. Mm-hmm. So just cut, you know, what used to take 12 days can now take 12 seconds. And obviously that just, you know, makes everyone's life a little bit easier. And if you're a recruitment agency able to bring that advantage, or an employer able to bring that advantage and give that gift of data back to your candidate, then that's something that we think all of the market, you know, will value.
Yeah. I think of it almost like what we've had to go through with COVID and prove that people are vaccinated so that we can travel more efficiently and attend maybe shows more efficiently by having that digital pass that showcases a vaccination record. Similar concept, it feels like,
very this process.
Similar. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, in fact, I mean, you know, obviously no one would wish for COVID, right? As the global pandemic, but as a catalyst to the understanding and recognition of what the useful parts of what a digital credential could be, whether it's stored on the blockchain or not, you know, that is to have massively accelerated. You know, everyone, as you say, has got a COVID pass, right? Or a certificate now that they use in a digital format. And therefore people are no longer are recognizing that this is a really viable means of getting access to proven and valid data.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's certainly been a boost to the awareness of this sort of the proof of verification.
Yeah, absolutely. A conceptual adaptation that we've had to pivot through in that process. And interesting to see that you guys have built that similar sort of technology with background checks. It's really an elemental part of a future of work. And if we're thinking about it from a foundational perspective, one of the more important concepts of future of work strategies really lies around a globalized workforce, right? So we have companies here in America right now that are tapping into pools of Latin American talent, APAC talent, all over the globe at the touch of a fingertip. They're on a Zoom, just like we are today. And then they're looking to hire the candidate next Monday. And really knowing if they are, number one, maintaining and adhering to compliant practices for background checks within that particular locality. And number two, conveniently accessing that information to know that the person that they're bringing on board is truly a vetted and checked background that they can feel confidence and assured in. Can you speak to a little bit more of how you guys have established somewhat of a globalized infrastructure into your practices so that anyone can hire anyone with the added assurance that you're running through the proper background for their locality?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I mean, it's that in half of that phrase that you just mentioned is that anyone can hire anyone, right?
Yeah.
And how do you make that possible for the world? And, you know, both obviously for the benefit of the employers, but also just the vast array of talent that can now finally be employed and you know, economically uplifted through access to better jobs. And, you know, there is, if we look at the macro trends of you know, the world of work and the future staffing, right? But people are changing jobs faster, right? The tenure of the average career, the rise in independent working or gig working is massively growing. You know, there is a massive boost in virtual and remote hiring, right? So that's not to say it's international, but you can have people hiring at different ends of the country who will never meet each other. And now, obviously, you've got this equally massive boost in cross-border hiring, where, as you say, someone in California may be hiring someone in Honduras and so forth, and they'll never meet. But, there's this complexity as the hiring agency or as the employer to know that, one, how do you know this person is really who they say they are in Honduras? Yeah.
Right.
Or again, India or Vietnam or Boston. Right? How do you know who they are, who they say they are, really? How do you know if you're an average organization, what questions you can ask about Indian employment or criminal records in Vietnam or credit checks in Japan, right? I mean, you just don't have that within your HR wheelhouse, if you will. And then again, if you're from the candidate side, again, it's that ever-growing mobility of these independent professionals, right? The digital nomad who has now moved from one place to one place. And therefore you have this multi-country necessity or the ability to check in multi-countries where people, I'm obviously British, I live in Singapore, I've worked in the States and France and Spain, right? I mean, that's wow. A certain amount of complexity to try and check my backgrounds again and know what you're able to do. Point being that actually Verimark acts as a global single point solution. We are able to deliver 40 plus checks in over 150 countries. Much like payroll, each country has its own different set of regulations and rules. And within our platform, you can see very clearly, or the platform will tell you what you can and can't answer in certain countries. So that, again, you know, whether you're a small 10-man operation, you can click in, you open an account, you can, you know, ensure that you are completely compliant about the types of checks that you're doing. And that the candidate will then equally be only asked to provide that information which they are, you know, required to, and you won't get any superfluous data. But also the data of the candidate will be handled in line with local data compliance acts, right? Whether it's GDPR in Europe or PDPA in Asia and so forth. So, you know, from a de-risking of your own compliance issues, you're now much safer and you can better adhere to local employment laws, as well as know that you can now anywhere in the world hire whoever you want and get that extra level of certainty around, have they done what they've said they are? Who are they? You know, is there any bad, you know, is there anything nefarious in their past that could just, you know, be impactful to my company culture or my working environment or get me in trouble with any sort of regulated bodies? And it's the elimination of that risk that really sits at the heart of what, you know, everything that Verimark does.
Yeah. Certainly a critical element of the future of work in a globalized workforce. Right at the brunt of that is compliant practices and ensuring that you are adhering to the necessary legislations and statutory obligations for an employer to run background information. And I don't know if that's ever spoken enough of. We often hear about, you know, how convenient it is and how easy it is, but truly, are we taking the time and the forthright effort to ensure that we're obligating our fulfillment in compliant practices? It is the big man, the big boogeyman in the room, but very important aspect of what we do. Now, I'd like to talk through the online business community, and I'm kind of going in through a different path now on this show. In which, you know, your entrepreneurial background has really created this community where other businesses and like-minded entrepreneurial owners and adventurers, I guess you could say, are able to find some added support in this process. Can you speak through this organization a little bit further?
Sure. Yeah. So, as I mentioned, you know, Verimark was my is my second business, my first business. You know, we built and scaled, we raised about $15 million for. It's still running a decade later. You know, my role at Adecco, I got to view sort of 2,000 plus HR tech businesses and so forth. But what we built, the entity that you're talking about, is called the Workplace Accelerator, and we set it up in 2020, just in response to really COVID, actually. So you had this. You know, HR tech wasn't so loved, you know, pre-pandemic. It was definitely not as excited or exciting to the venture capital community. And actually, it was a pretty under thought of category of businesses, right? I mean, it's pre, you know, pre MySpace, Big Raise, or Remote, or Oyster, and all those sort of businesses in that sort of space becoming all unicorns and shedding some light on it. But what happened was, you know, obviously in early 2020, there was this massive forced transformation of work. And in Southeast Asia and APAC, where I was based, as I said, HR tech was sort of this beginner's category, and there wasn't much support or ecosystem for it. And actually, a lot of the HR tech buyers, you know, or the HR directors or talent acquisition directors, weren't overly familiar with all the immediate benefits that HR tech could bring. They thought it was a cost center as opposed to, you know, being transformative to the way your business runs and the efficiency it can get. So we decided to build what was then the first dedicated HR tech growth and accelerator program. And we structured a 16-week program that now, in its second year, is just entering its third year, has comes with not only 10 very senior operating partners who are all proven HR tech experts, you know, functionally, or entrepreneurs who have built and scaled their businesses, but actually also now about 300 global HR leaders who act as mentors to the program. And you know, what we do is, you know, once a year, we take a cohort of seven businesses who all work across the work tech categories. So talent acquisition, talent management, you know, core HR, productivity and collaboration is a big one, obviously now with the rise of remote work. and workforce management. And then these seven, you know, these seven businesses, each, you know, last year we had 240 businesses apply. We got seven of them in, and then they go through this program and get to meet, you know, all of the mentors that they needed to, and, you know, get feedback on all of their businesses. These are all early stage businesses, sort of sub 10 grand a month type style. So really quite early on in the journey. But what it does do them is that it gives them massive exposure to real market feedback. So ultimately they can refine their idea about what the market wants. And then the market equally gets to then tell them what they want to see in the product. So ultimately the end vision is that everyone gets the tools and the insight that they need to build a better working world. And then the program typically runs about 16 weeks in total to, as I say, really, you know, bring young fledgling entrepreneurs in what is still a sort of underinvested in category, you know, further along the journey and make, you know, hopefully make it a little bit easier for them to get to that next step.
Yeah. So if I'm an entrepreneur, right, and I want to be part of the workplace accelerator program, is there a certain vetting process that would accept me into the 16-week training program? Is there a cost associated with it? How does that process work?
Yeah. So there is a, so you would have, you'd go to workplaceaccelerator.com and you would apply. Then there's three series of interviews, you know, typically one, you know, a chat with me or the other person who runs the program, one of the operating partners, and then also one of the global mentors who would, you know, who is a sort of domain specialist in your preferred category. And then we get everyone to do a personality test at the end to make sure that the founding team all have one, and that they, you know, that they are, you know, of a suitable collaborative nature to really help the other six businesses that will be in the cohort, as well as look after themselves, which is sort of really important to us. And then at the end of that, then, you know, as I say, we typically, out of however many applications, we'll select the top seven, but there's no cash cost to it. And then as I say, the businesses get invested in through an angel network of this 250 plus, you know, 300 plus mentors now that we've, you know, built as well. And then obviously there's an equity fee around that.
Nice. Very cool concept that you guys have drawn out. Now, if you could maybe rewind a little bit and talk to Dan before the entrepreneurial bug bit you and give yourself advice on, hey, these are the things that I've learned along the way that you should be aware of as I'm raising capital, or perhaps that listener that's tuning into today's episode that's considering taking that leap of faith, what advice would you give them? Certainly you have done a fantastic job and you're very familiar on what it takes to raise funds, to build businesses. Any advice that you would give the listeners out there, or yourself maybe, even if you could, when it comes to that?
So, I mean, I think that there's a couple of, I mean, on the building business part side of things, I think the simplest advice is just get started and then just keep going. It is, as you know, I'm sure even better than me, it is incredibly hard work to build a business. But until you take that first step, you know, it's all, you know, obviously hypothetical. But you know, you'll find naturally once you do take that first step, the second quickly follows, the third, and you get into a pattern of it, right? There's nothing like just getting stuck in, and you know, whether it's like with all things in life, you just gotta keep going if you're gonna get anywhere. And that, you know, if you don't have, or you don't feel that you're gonna have, that, you know, realize that again, things will take twice as long as they always seem to. So if you're not committed to, you know, at least putting sort of a guaranteed minimum of 12 months of hard sweat and energy into it, before you see the signs of any fruit of labor, then, you know, really consider if that's the right thing for you. But the sooner you can take that first step, then, you know, then obviously the better it will be. On the fundraising side, I think there's, you know, it's equally realizing that it is a numbers game. I mean, it is a law of numbers. It is a sales process. Someone used the analogy the other day that actually I thought was really apt, that, you know, raising investment is kind of like being an actor in going for auditions, in the fact that, you know, unless you really look like Brad Pitt, you're probably going to hear a lot of no's before you hear your 1 yes, right? Mm-hmm. And therefore, you just have to treat the fundraising process as a continual sales event, much like you would with clients. You know, some will buy, some won't. Don't worry about the ones that don't. Just keep looking for the ones that will. And again, you know, it sort of ties back into the, you know, into the persistence and resilient piece that, you know, you've just got to keep going. And I think anyone starting out, or you know, the world is so flooded with stories around, you know, young people raising hundreds of million dollars over the weekend and so forth, when actually the reality is obviously very different from that. So realize that, you know, whatever you can do and whatever you can raise is a real achievement in itself, and be proud of that. But you know, even then, you're still going to hear more no's than you hear yeses in most cases, and just realize that's part of the game.
Yeah, that valuable and without a doubt level of rejection will be there. But if for anything that's worth it in life, that's usually the way it goes. So some great advice that you've given. And I go back to myself when it comes to just taking that leap of faith and having the full self-confidence that this is going to be sure as hell a really long road of hard work ahead, but it begins with one single step. And how hard that was for me in my own personal journey through this. So thank you for that. Some good feedback. And it's great to, it's honestly refreshing to hear. You guys have done something really cool at the Workplace Accelerator. And aside from giving entrepreneurs or hopeful entrepreneurs this training and this methodology through that 16-week program and potentially the leveraging of angel investors into their own business, there's also the value of mentorship that you guys are building through this, which in some cases is invaluable, right? You can't really put a price on learning through others, and especially those that have been through this. Can you talk through what mentorship has done for you personally, and where it's led you to where you are in the career, and why you guys wanted to really embed that into this program?
I think there's it's obviously very incorrectly, it's a really undervalued gift. I think often under appreciated gift, you just don't realize the real impact and value that mentorship or coaching can have on a person. As you say, I mean, there's nothing like avoiding someone else's mistakes, that foresight and pre-proven experience, you know, at the beginning, you know, can save young businesses as well as, you know, young adults or anyone in life, you know, a huge amount of time and pain and angst and so forth. You know, and what we wanted to do in the Workplace Accelerator, as well as how we, you know, use mentors and coaches in Veramark for our own leadership team, is really make sure that it was hyper-focused on HR tech, and make sure that, again, these are not, you know, as some other programs do, you know, bring obviously highly accomplished people, but who aren't necessarily, you know, domain experts in that world. I think that sort of level of hyper-focused insight and proven track record is, you know, something that really stands out and differentiates the program, in that everything compounds on each other, where it's about HR tech sales or HR tech partnerships or HR tech integrations or HR tech marketing or HR, you know, product roadmaps and so forth. Everything, you know, is really baked in this sort of niche domain area, which again just, you know, makes it even more relevant for the people. For me personally, as a younger man, I probably wouldn't have valued mentor much, or thought I was too busy to be mentored, right? Because I was, you know, running around doing the world. But actually, you know, that's definitely a mistake in itself. And now the ability to take a step back and have a conversation with someone who's wiser, or, you know, as I say, more experienced, or is actually just willing to take the time and listen to you talk through your own business concerns is hugely, hugely valuable. And, you know, Veramark has now sort of, again, we recently raised sort of £8.5 million equity round as well.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And then, you know, we had a coach and mentor through that process, not on the fundraising side, but just a general CEO coach that you could lean on and you know, check in with once in a while to, as I say, sort of relieve some of the stress and just make sure that you're not going off track in many ways. And And that's hugely both cathartic, but also reassuring process. I found, and definitely recommend it to anyone. And it doesn't have to be a professional. Sometimes it is just a good friend who's willing to listen and not always give you the answers, but just let you talk through your own responses.
Yeah. And one of the things that I've discovered more recently, I think as you're learning to build teams and draw from people around you that are certainly more expert than you could ever be, is knowing that mentorship doesn't necessarily have to be the person that's more experienced. It could be the younger person that knows a certain technology, a certain skill set, or certain subject matter expertise that you have no idea about, and you're learning and you're drawing from their own experiences and how they've leveraged their domain, and knowing that mentorship truly is all around us, and we just have to have the willingness to never stop learning through others. Thank you for sharing that. I'm a proponent of it as well. And as we're wrapping up today's podcast, Dan, I'd love to get an idea, knowing that this is the information age, and it is so critical for us to maintain, as we do sometimes in our regular life, a healthy lifestyle. We have to do it on the mental state of things with our content and what we decide to consume every single day to stay up to date. So what are some resources for learning, maybe news outlets or things that you read in leisure to stay up to date and to just keep the mental health going in the world of Daniel?
Yes, I have a sort of a two great loves, plus my wife, in my life.
Three great loves. Shout out to the wife.
One being Verimark, obviously, and then the other is we have a 20-month-old son at the moment. Most of my reading most of my news sources, either on how to continue growing and scaling in a hyper-growth business. And for that, I find the resources at Sastra University, really useful for businesses of all size, whether you're zero to working out how to get to your first 10 customers or go from, 10 to 100 million. That's a fantastic business resource. And then, the rest is a sort of collection of parental blogs on trying to work out how to potty train someone at the moment, which is,
navigating the chaos.
How to maintain sanity. That's certainly the greatest harmonizer, I'd say, in my life currently at the moment, to make you realize what it's all for at the end of the day.
Yeah, to go back to your why, without a doubt. That's awesome. Okay, cool. So where can we find you? Where can we get in touch with you?
Sure. Well, as per my name, tag convenient, yes, I see at the bottom of the screen. If anyone can reach me on LinkedIn under Daniel Callahan, or my email address is dan@verimark.com. Love to hear from anyone. Certainly interested about improving how their candidates are having their background or pre-employment screening, or reach out to on any other topic that might be of interest.
Yep, absolutely. Congratulations to all the happenings in your life, Dan, especially with Verimark, the 20-month-old as well, this new voyage into the new business. I think your son is probably around the same age as the business, if I'm not mistaken.
A little younger, but yeah, it was
a little younger.
If you're taking the pregnancy, then yeah, about the same time.
There you go. Well, all wonderful things. And, selfishly, I look forward to the day that our platform as well has the opportunity to utilize Verimark. I know soon that day will come. And definitely, you guys, give it, check it out. They're really leveraging some fantastic things when it comes to the world of background and pre-screening. Dan, so nice to have you on the show today. Thank you for spending some time for us. Thank you to our audience for tuning in as well. I always say this, I wrap up with one firm belief, and that is that time is the most valuable gift that we can give to one another. So we appreciate you guys, and you as well, Dan, for spending some time with us.
No, thank you very much for having me. It's been great.
Absolutely. We'll see you guys on the next episode of the Ivy Podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.